Luke 23, beginning at verse 33. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him, the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what to do. They parted his raiment and cast lots. And the people stood beholding, the rulers also with them deriding him, saying, He saved others, let him save himself, if he be the Christ, the chosen of God. And the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him and offering him vinegar, and saying, If thou be the King of the Jews, save thyself. And the superscription also was written over him in letters of Greek and Latin and Hebrew, This is the King of the Jews. I'm trying to preach today a few minutes on what really happened at Calvary. We believe that Jesus left heaven and came down to earth for the purpose of going to the cross and doing the work of redemption, what the Father sent him down here to do. We know that the Bible is a progressive revelation of the person of God, the plan of God, the power of God, and the purpose of God. God's a God of purpose, and I'm glad of that, aren't you? He didn't have to come down here. He willingly came down here. He laid aside all the glories of heaven, and what he had there was rich. The Bible said he was rich and became poor, that we, through his poverty, might be made rich. So we have what we have today because he laid aside what he had. And I appreciate that. You know, the grace of our Lord Jesus, though he was rich, and it was grace, and it is grace, he laid aside all that, his riches, and became poor. You know, Christ had no place to lay his head. One place in the book of John, others departed to their own house, and Jesus went in the mountain. He didn't have a house to live in, no place to lay his head. And I'm glad he came down here and was poverty stricken for you and for me. So at Calvary, we see first the scriptures was fulfilled. The Bible said in Mark 15:28, that the scriptures there was fulfilled, which said he was numbered with the transgressors. That's Isaiah's prophecy. He was numbered with the transgressors. First prophecy of the scriptures about the Lord, Genesis 3:15. He's going to bruise the head of the serpent. And he did that. Genesis 22:8, the Lord told Abraham about offering his son, and Abraham told Isaac, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for the burnt offering. And God did provide himself a lamb. Exodus 12, there's the lamb that was offered. It was a selected lamb, of course, a spotless lamb, and it was a slain lamb. And I'm glad that Jesus fulfilled that. There's a picture of him in Exodus 12. How that the lamb was taken from the flock on the 10th day, came up to the 14th day. He was killed, his blood was shed, his blood was sprinkled on the upper end and side post. Picture what Jesus is going to do when he comes down here. And he did that. And shed his life's blood for you and for me. You can look all through the scriptures, Numbers 21. There's a serpent on the pole. He said again in John chapter 3, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. I'm a believer in him. I never did see him with a natural eye. No, but I believe, just as much as I have seen him, that Christ was virgin born, he lived a sinless life, that he died a vicarious death at the cross, resurrected the third day, based on the Word of God, I believe what it says. You know, today, you're either a believer or an unbeliever. And you can't be a believer without some faith, and faith comes with hearing, and hearing with the Word of God. And if you'll be still, lay aside old filthiness and superfluous naughtiness, and receive a meekness engrafted Word, which is able to save your soul, God will give you some faith. That's how you get faith. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing with the Word of God. Praise God for the day the Lord gave me some faith. I didn't have any faith. I didn't go to church and get saved. I believe historically, but I didn't have any saving faith. But God gave me some faith by hearing His Word preached. God chose the Buddhists to preach and save them to believe. And that's what we are, preachers, proclaimers. God has done something. Isaiah 53 was fulfilled on the cross. Daniel chapter 9, Christ dies in the beginning of the 69th week. There's 1 week to be fulfilled yet. And so Christ died when the 59th week was over. Psalm 22, that's where he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me, was fulfilled from Psalm 22. All the verses about his first coming and his death were fulfilled at the cross. That's what happened. So the scriptures were fulfilled, and the Savior suffered fully at the cross for your sins and my sins. He was made to be sin. See, God must deal with sin. God's either going to deal with your sin in Christ, is going to deal with your sin in you. I'm going to take a minute and say, God has dealt with my sin in Christ. And when I come to the cross, and by faith trusted Christ, turning from my sin, God imputed the righteousness of Christ to me. And Christ took my place, you see. He paid what I owed, suffered for my sin, and now I'm made the righteousness of God in Him, justified by faith in Jesus Christ, so I now have His righteousness upon me. Now that's shouting ground for the saints of God. Amen. I'm happy about that, aren't you? He's propitiation. He's the satisfaction for our sins. Not for ours, not for the sins of the whole world. He satisfied God for our sins. Paid the price, suffered wrath and eternal punishment and damnation for your sin and my sin, so God can freely forgive us now. That's how God can be just and justify the repenting, believing sinner, because Christ suffered perfectly on the cross. Suffered there on the cross. Christ once offered himself to God, come to the world to bear our sins. Once there were four sins, the just and the unjust might bring us to God. The only way that Christ could bring us to God, he had to be just, suffering for the unjust. He has own self bear our sins in his own body on the tree. And we being dead since in little righteous, those stripes, he were healed. We were sheep going astray, but now we've returned to shepherd and bishop of our soul. So I believe this. I believe Christ died as the King of the Jews. He also died as the Savior of sinners. And he also died for the sheep. Lost sheep. Israel, of course, there was the lost sheep. You and I were never lost sheep. So Christ died for sinners. It's the favorite sinner worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came to the world to save sinners, not to try to save sinners, to save sinners. Hebrews 7 says this man is able to save them the uttermost that come to God by him. He don't try to save, he saves. He saves sinners. Repenting, guilty, believing sinners. That's the kind of folks the Lord saves. You don't try Jesus. They came out with a song years ago about trying Jesus. He's not on trial. You're on trial. He's not on trial. He came down here and did what the Father sent him to do and accomplished the work of redemption and went back to heaven and sat down to love him the message on high. Everything's finished. Everything's finished that God required him to finish. He sprinkled the mercy seat with his own blood. And obtained eternal redemption for us. So now, if you want to get to God, you got to come through Christ. Christ is God's right hand man. You can't get to God without coming through Christ. And you can't get to Christ without coming through the blood. You can't get the blood without turning on yourself and your sins. Our problem is we don't want to turn on ourselves. I remember it's been almost 60 years now. I can quit smoking and quit cussing and quit drinking and quit doing them, but turning on myself, that's a different story. See, sin's what you are, and sin's is what you do. Sin's is the fruit of sin. It's pretty hard to turn on yourself. A fellow said to me this week, said, you said it's hard to get saved. I said, I'm saying that it's not hard for God, it's hard for us. Because we like to have it easy. We like to have it our way. Man wants to be his own boss. Before you get saved, you get off the throne. You enthrone Jesus Christ as Lord. He becomes your owner, your Lord and Savior. Amen. I deal with it all the time. And see, sinners that would like to have the benefits of salvation. Well, who would like to go to heaven just to die? They believe there is a heaven. Some people don't believe there is a hell. I told some folks, well, I bet you there's hell. I said, there's a whole lot of hell on this side of hell. This world's homes are wrecked and broken. Lives are wrecked and ruined. Penitentiaries are full. Graveyards are full of premature deaths. There's a lot of torment in this world, but it's worse torment after here. But I'm glad Christ tasted death. I mean spiritual death, physical death, the second death. He took your torment and went to the cross and suffered our hell. Was made to be sin for us. Didn't only bear our sin. He didn't only suffer our sin. He was made to be sin for us. What happened at Calvary? God made his soul an offering for sin. And God spared not his own son. God punished the soul of his son till justice was satisfied. Hallelujah to God. God can freely forgive repenting, believing sinners now. It don't strain God. God is just too holy to put his love in the heart of a rebel. So you turn on your rebellion, get off the throne, plead guilty. Somebody said, well, I don't know how to pray. He don't require me how to pray. I've had people tell me, well, I don't know if I prayed my prayer right. I said, he says some heart language. You know what you say. It's a broken heart and a contrite spirit. You're sorry of being a sinner. You're low down, guilty sinner in rebellion against God. We all were. There's no bad sinners and good sinners. All men are sinners without Christ. It's not what all you've done out there, what all kind of sins you've committed. It is that your heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. You're wicked inside. The heart is who you are inside. We're wicked sinners, rebels against God. Amen. God saved us from our sin. You quit living in your sins when you get saved from sin. Is that what you do or don't do? That's not the problem, what you do or don't do. The problem is who you are. You have to be made a new creature. You've got to have a new man inside. So the Savior suffered at the cross, was made to be sin for us. And that what he was suffering there, when he finished up, the sovereign says, come about what happened at the cross. Jesus Christ said on the cross, said, satisfied God. When Christ traveled without boys and committed his spirit to heaven the Father. The sun got dark, you know, sun went out, got dark. Christ went into outer darkness for 3 hours. And then when Christ gave up the ghost, the earth quaked, and the rocks went. The veil was ripped from top to bottom. The middle of the chest broke down. God was saying, I'm totally and completely satisfied with what my son has accomplished at the cross. Now, in the Old Testament, they brought lambs, shed the blood of the Jewish altars, streamed up there for centuries. But the blood of lambs and goats and sheep could never take away sin and make the comers there too perfect. Had to be done over and over and over again. But Christ appeared once in the end of the world to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. So, what he accomplished at the cross satisfied God. God satisfied not with what I've accomplished, but what Christ, my Savior, has accomplished. And now God can accept me in Christ. I'll be like this. You accept Christ, God accepts you. You reject Christ, God rejects you. Now one man said to me, he was an agnostic and a scoffer. He said, well, how do you know there's a God? I said, well, one way I know there's a God is because it said in the last days there'll be folk like you. I mean, you could read it there, 2 Peter 3. The last days there'll be scoffers. Saying, where's the promise of his coming? Since our fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. There's a lot of scoffers today. You know there's a God because the sun come up this morning. The creation never silenced its voice. Psalm 19. The creation has a voice. The worst heathen in the darkest jungle in the world that never has seen a church, a Bible, or a preacher. Every time the sun comes up, God lets him know in his conscience there's a supreme being. Every time the sun sets in the western skies and the skies turn red, that tells you and everybody else in the world that Christ has died at the cross. When the sun comes up the next morning, that tells you he didn't stay dead. He arose. Praise God. He's on the throne today. Praise God. And they preach the gospel. Man's got to harden his conscience. And listen, he's got to turn away from the sovereign God, the universe. I said it's to deny there's a God. Creation says there's a God. Creation says there's a creator behind the creation. There were fields today. The earth is filled with people that's gone to school a long time and become real dumb and think we've evolved. Well, we didn't evolve. We went down, stood up. Man was made upright, we went down into sin. That's what's wrong, people. We're in a depravity. That just means we fell in Adam so far down we can't lift ourselves up again. Got to depend on somebody else to lift us up. I'm glad he lifted us from a horrible pit. Set our feet on a rock and established our goings. I say praise his name. He was cursed of the law, being made a curse for us. Can you imagine the Savior bloody and beaten, his beard plucked out, the crown of thorns beat down on his head. He's a bloody pup. They smote him in the face and spit on him and whipped him. And flesh was hanging down and blood was streaming down at that old rugged cross. His visage was marred more than the sons of men. And he became a curse of the law. And he could have saved himself, but he couldn't save himself and save you. So he didn't save himself in order to save you. Praise God. He stayed there and paid off the sin debt, became a curse, and was cursed under the law. He knew no sin, but yet became sin. He gave the law, but he was cursed under that law. And now he redeems us from the curse of the law, and he's the end of the law, and we are victory in Jesus Christ. Praise God. If I was able, I might take a little running spell. If we knew how saved we are, we wouldn't be near as proud about it. We're saved, praise God, as we can get me down here, because Christ is on the inside of us if we're saved. He's living and reigning on the inside of us. Christ in you is the hope of glory. That's what you call true salvation. Complete salvation. We're complete in Christ. Brother, listen, we're saved, we're ever going to be inwardly. Because Christ is in us, which is the hope of glory. You say, well, I don't know if Christ's in me or not. Well, not. You wouldn't know if he's in there. You might get kind of bad shape sometime and all twisted around. When you get where there's a little spirit in the singing, a little spirit in the praying and the preaching, you're going to feel some joy bells inside. Listen, the sovereign is totally satisfied and salvation is secured. There's nothing else that can be done to secure salvation. Christ stayed on the cross and listen, he signed the covenant with his own blood and sealed it up. A covenant of mercy. That's an agreement between the Godhead. And Christ went to the cross and sealed the covenant with his own blood. A covenant is an agreement. Listen, we was on a broken law. He came down here with the cross with a broken body. There wasn't any bones broken, but his body was broken for us on the cross. Oh, praise God. I'm happy at the cross. Salvation was secured. And to prove that, there was a sinner saved there. Without water baptism, without church membership, without keeping Sabbath days. But I tell you, one thing he had to do, his understanding had to be open that he was a lawbreaker. Because there's a thief on either side, see. And the Savior in the middle. And there's accusing him and so on. And all of a sudden, one of them's understanding was open. And he rebuked the other thief. And he said, we're in this awful condemnation, and we deserve it. He said, this man in the midst here, he's on this condemnation, and he's done nothing amiss. Oh, he's done, you know what he saw first? He saw his own unrighteousness. He saw the righteousness of the man in the middle, Jesus. He saw he was unrighteous, and the Savior's righteous. Have you ever been enabled to see that? Have you ever been enabled by the Spirit of God to see that you're unrighteous? No sin in the world is worse than you are. Amen. You might not have done the worst thing, but you're dead off as that other fellow. Right. But he's helping you understand that Christ done nothing amiss. I mean, he lived a perfect life and died a perfect death. And then he said, Lord, he understood and recognized Jesus as Lord. Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Of course, Christ hadn't served his kingdom that day. But now the Jews has promised the kingdom, and all them Jews, even the ones that followed the Lord, got saved. Even them, they thought he's going to set up the kingdom then. They didn't understand because we didn't have Paul's epistles. And so they didn't know about the mist of the church. But they thought, we'll come out this time, restore again the kingdom of Israel. He didn't come down here. He came down here to open the kingdom of Israel, but they refused it. And it was set aside. So Christ is dying. He said, Lord, remember me when I come to thy kingdom. That's only you to pray. Well, you're not saved unless you pray. It's not your prayer, though you will pray. But that's not what saves you. The Savior saves you. The Savior straightened him out. Said, this day shalt thou be with me in paradise. I'm going to paradise today, and you're going with me because you've acknowledged you're a sinner and set your place as a sinner and acknowledged me as Lord and Savior. And I'm going to take you to paradise today. And I believe the thief went to paradise that day. He was no more a thief because he got converted on the cross. If you ever get converted, you go to the cross by faith. Now you say, well, I can't go over there where the cross was. Yeah, but you know what Paul said? I'm crucified with him. In other words, I've been to the cross by faith. I died at the cross with Christ. I took my place as a sinner. I pled guilty. And I went to the cross. And God, Jesus said, rule me dead. And I'm dead with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Amen. Now that I am held in the flesh, I live in the faith of the Son of God who loved me. Yeah. Not a general love, only. There was a general love, but a particular love. He loved me. Yeah. Oh, that's the day when I found out he loved me. Yeah. Did you know he's always loved me? And he loves me now as bad as I am. And he won't, when I get to heaven, he won't love me any better than he does now. He just loves me all the time with a perfect love. See, I wish I could love him with a perfect love, but I can't. When I get my new body, I'll be able to love him with a perfect love. I'm trying to now, but I've got problems in this outward man. But when I get my glorified body, I'll be able to love him with a perfect love. He loves me with a perfect love. Think about how bad we are. Think about how short we come sometimes. We would do, but what I would do, I do not. What I would not, that do I. I got the will inside, the will spent with me, how to perform that which is good, I find out. Sometimes I don't know what and how to do right, like I should do. But when I get my glorified body, that's going to be fashioned like I'm his body. Did you know we're going to be like him outside when we get a glorified body? Won't that be something when we get a glorified body? You know, if you've got that hope inside, that is a hope. We're looking for the blessed hope. We're going to get a glorified body like I'm his body. I'm waiting on that. That's why we wait with patience. You know, we wait. When you wait, that don't mean you just sit down and stargaze. When you wait, you're preparing. Wait on the Lord, you're preparing. You're getting ready. You wait on another battle, you're getting ready for the battle. And what we're doing right now, that's why it goes on down in 1 John 3 there. Every man has this hope and purifies himself. Even as he is pure. Oh, we're trying to be better and trying to be more pure. When we get a glorified body, we be like him. It does not yet appear what we shall be. But we know when he shall appear, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. And we're rejoicing in that blessed hope. I feel sorry for people that has no hope. See, I've been there having no hope. At that time, you were that Christ. The eighth from the commonwealth of Israel, changed from the promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. Ephesians 2:12. Now everybody look up here. You know what to have no hope means? It means to be in a state of despair. You describe the people, even in Rome County, even this time, that's in a state of despair. They have no hope. What am I going to do? I can't do it. I can't reach it. You describe people that's defeated. Sinners that's defeated. They think there's no way out. Right. They're without hope. I remember what it was to be without hope. I remember what it was to have no hope and without God in the world. You know, just totally and completely defeated. And I wanted to do right. and had no hope and couldn't do right. I had such a bad nature inside that I was controlled by that sin. And I had no hope, and I was full of fear. And when the fear of God was come to me, and the fear of God was the beginning of wisdom, and I saw then that I was heading for eternity and had no hope, and it scared the daylights out of me. You have been brought to fear God. The fear of God is the beginning of wisdom, not the love of God. And I have to say this about every time now. The last 60 years that all preachers have done has went over the country telling sinners that God loves them. And they said nothing about wrath, nothing about judgment, but just told them about love. Well, God told the world He loved them when Christ died. If God didn't love sinners, they'd be in hell now. Is that right? So to preach the gospel is not to go and tell sinners, all the sinners, that God loves them. That's not preaching the gospel. It's a sin to preach love without wrath. See, the unbeliever is a child of wrath by nature. Ephesians 2:3. The wrath of God abides on him. John 3:36. In other words, if you're an unbeliever, then you can't be a believer and an unbeliever both. So you're the believer or an unbeliever. And unbelief is rebellion against God and truth and light. That's what unbelief is. It's not weakness or ignorance. It's rebellion. See, we're rebels against light. We're rebels against God, His authority. So because of that unbelief, the wrath of God abides on him. So he's a child of wrath. He's not a child of love. He's a child of wrath. Generally, he's in a love dispensation. But particularly, he's under the wrath of God. Because he's an unbeliever. Now, if he dies, he don't go down under love. He goes down under wrath. Do you know what wrath is? Wrath is holiness responding to sin. That's what happened at the cross. God's holiness responded to our sin in the person of His Son, and God could not spare His Son. Wrath controlled the holiness, and so is love. You see people and hear people that say, well, God don't send anybody to hell. Say, so you send yourself to hell. I told one girl, you couldn't even find hell. Because you couldn't get in, Christ has the key to it. Revelation 1:18. God's so holy, He is so holy, He cannot allow you in His presence in your own filthy rag righteousness. You deserve, we all deserve hell and eternal ruin. And the only reason we don't get it, because we're in Christ. He took our hell for us. But the unbeliever is under the wrath of God, so if he dies, he goes down under wrath immediately. Not that God didn't love him. God loved him so much as Christ died. But God didn't put his love in him because he was a rebel against authority. We need to get that straight. It's not that Christ died for sinners. It's how Christ died for sinners. 1 Corinthians 15. And he was buried and then he rose again. Why did Christ die? How did he die? He died the just for the unjust. He died, was made to be sin. He knows sin, made to be sin. He died under wrath. Now God can justify us and we can get saved from wrath through Him when we come to His terms. He set the terms. We didn't set the terms. God set the terms. So you can have peace, but God, only on God's terms. The old timers called it the terms of the gospel. They had it right. God made the terms. Salvation's accomplished and it's available, but you can't have it unless you come to His terms. His terms is repentance toward God. Not repentance toward Christ, repentance toward God in redemption's work. God is sovereign judge. Christ is Savior, substitute, mediator. Holy Spirit's the divine administrator. Repentance toward God. You've offended God. Your sin's against God. God, the sovereign God, the judge of all the earth. You've offended God. God has you charged. You haven't been to the courts yet, but you're heading in that direction. There's a judgment day, the Bible calls it. There's a judgment day for saints. Not for sin, but for service. There's a judgment day for sinners. Not for service, but for sin. Judgment day. The saints are arraigned in the first part of that day. The sinners are arraigned for the last part of that day. Just like the fellow out here, he's arraigned. He's done been indicted and he's arraigned. And then they set a day to try him. And they set a time of day. Court usually starts at 9 o'clock. And sometimes the judge is late, most of the time, in these little courts. But our judge won't be late. He'll be right on time. If you don't come to Christ, and take what he did for you and be born of God, born of love, then you got to face God in your own righteousness. That's why God will say to sinners, depart from me. I never knew you. These go away in everlasting fire and punishment. Though Christ has died, God's been satisfied, they rebelled and wouldn't come to God's terms. And there's no plea bargains in the judgment. You can plea bargain now. You can't plea bargain the charge down, but you can get your case dismissed before you get to the judgment day. I kind of watch them. Sometimes I used to, I go and watch them. In the last 20 years, I've had a lot of plea bargains. I used to didn't believe in it. The reason I don't believe in it, they plead the charge down to get them to plead guilty so it won't cost the state so much. But you can plead bargain with God now, but you've got to plead guilty to the charge. He's not going to lower the charge. So you plead guilty to the charge. That's what repentance is, pleading guilty. Taking the blame. Taking sides with God against yourself. Acknowledging God told the truth about you. That's pretty hard to do sometimes. But you come to God's terms, and that's a hard work. Repentance toward God, faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the terms. And I got to go over that all the time. Repentance toward God. You're sorrowful toward God. You got to change that attitude toward God. Your attitude's changed. Your actions are controlled by your attitudes, and your actions might not be as good as you'd like them to be, but your attitude's right. See, if your attitude gets changed toward God, your attitude will be changed toward your attitude. You have the right attitude. If your attitude's right towards sin, you won't be living in sin. Your attitude's been changed towards sin, you know it's bad. Your attitude will be changed toward the Scripture and toward the saints. And you'll have some actions because your attitude. And you exercise faith in Jesus Christ. You lay hold on Him as your only Savior and substitute, your only mediator, your only one, and God, for Christ's sake, forgives your sin. And put you in Christ and imputes His righteousness to you, and you're made righteous in Him. The Holy Spirit does the work inside, see. Quickens the spirit, saves the soul, circumcises the inside, cuts the inward man loose, the outward man. Now you got a man inside born of God, man outside born of the flesh, but God rules him dead. And quickens the inward man. So now you got power to control the outward man, because you can reckon him dead. You reckon outward man dead to sin, alive unto God. So, here's what I'm saying in closing. If you're not saved, it's your fault. It's not God's fault. It's your fault. You say, well, I'm not a believer. Well, start seeking God. Not seeking God for what all you can get. Seek God and see if He'll have mercy on you. And see if He'll help you to come to Him in the right kind of way. You seek God. You seek His face, not His hand. Seek His face. Seek His person. Seek His wholeness. If you mean business of seeking God, you will find God. He'll break your heart so you can find Him. If you be honest. What we must have is judgment day honesty. And you know, we're dishonest by nature. We want to look at ourselves like it's not as bad as God said it was. It's desperate, incurably wicked. Your heart's incurably wicked. He must give you a new heart. New man inside. I hope you're saved. It'd be a blessing if everybody's saved. But you might be surprised at church members. Oh, they've made the, went through the Baptist mechanics. But they've never really submitted themselves to God and been converted and changed and born again, made a new Christian in Christ. Need to be sure eternity is a long time. Just bow our heads for closing prayer.
A great day is coming, it's not far away. Don't wait till last minute, my brother, to pray. If your soul's in danger, if you're lost on your way, don't wait till last minute, my brother, to pray. Don't wait, my brother, don't wait. Don't wait until it's too late. If your soul's in danger, if you're lost on your way, don't wait till last minute, my brother, to pray. A sad day is coming for those who go wrong, please leave. listen, my brother, don't tarry too long. The good Lord is willing to open the way. Don't wait the last minute, my brother, to pray. Don't wait, my brother, don't wait. Don't wait until it's too late. If your soul's in danger, if you're lost on your way, don't wait the last minute. Charge in heaven for treasure so rare. The crown you win when you meet him up there. There's no temptation to cause you to stray. Don't wait till last minute, my brother, to pray. Don't wait, my brother, don't wait. Don't wait until it's too late. Oh,